Tonight I want to share with you in the book of Corinthians, and if we turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to just look at this almost in a sense verse by verse. And tonight I've called this carnality versus spirituality, carnality versus spirituality. And one of the things that we've got to remember with the Deeper Life teaching is that this teaching, which we're taught by the Spirit of God, is that it might produce and bring forth sons. There is an inheritance to be had for the sons of God. And that inheritance is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the promised land. It is an inheritance that the children of Israel should have entered into and should have taken, but they decided not to listen to Joshua and Caleb and their positive confession, but they decided to listen to the other spies and the negative. And as a result of that, that fear, that negative, that unbelief, which they took into their mind and heart and spirit, actually caused them to perish in the wilderness. And this is what happens if we continue to put our minds over to the negative. If we put our minds over to the spirit of this age, if we continue still to rely upon the spirit of this age, upon the idols that God is trying to wean us away from and to deliver us from, what happens is that you remain carnal. You remain a child. You don't grow. You stay immature. And if the devil cannot get us in one way, he will try and get us in another way. And one of the things that we have noticed in the Deeper Life teaching of this call to sonship, to overcome in all things, we have seen not only in our churches, but we have seen around us where the enemy tries to keep believers carnal, immature, bickering and arguing and not really maturing and growing in the faith. And very often you will find that it doesn't take long. The rejection is actually with the cross and the message of the cross. And before we actually begin to look into 1 Corinthians 3, we need to remember, like in all these things, that it leads up to it. And in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, as he comes to the church at Corinth, which is a church that he founded, he has this against them, that they are carnal. And he says, the reason that you're carnal is because you're still finding it difficult to receive the things of the Spirit. You want the carnality. You want the wisdom of man. And he says, you're having a problem with the cross, Christ crucified and risen. And he goes into depth to show that the carnal mind cannot receive God's wisdom and revelation. In other words, God's wisdom and revelation, his redemptive plan, is in the cross of Jesus Christ. And he says that very message that you're trying to understand can also become a stumbling block. But we equally find that with the Deeper Life, that we too are to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. We are crucified with Christ, as it says in Galatians 2:20. And so we see again history repeating itself. We've seen it in our own circles, in our churches, where they wrestle, they battle against the cross. And you know, most of the weaknesses or most of the problems that have arisen in the Church of Jesus Christ, you can pretty well take it back to that basic thing. And it stems around the cross. And they have a problem with it. They have a problem with its stigma. They have a problem because they don't want to take it up. They have a problem because the cross deals with the self-life. They have a problem because the cross and its message is exalted in the assembly. They have a problem because all so often they hear the cross or the message of the cross or the principles of the cross coming out in its teaching. And the cross has come to deal with self. The cross has come to divide the carnality and the spirituality. The cross comes to divide and to deal with whatever is wrong in the Church of Jesus Christ. And this is where the wrestling often comes. And the enemy, of course, knows exactly where to get in. How does he get in? Well, he tried it exactly with our Lord and Savior. He tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And we see several occasions of where he tried to do it, of course, of which was through Peter. And of course, Peter, still being carnal, still being a babe, couldn't understand the divine wisdom and plan of God, what God was about to do through Jesus. Of course, in his own self, he said, no, you don't go there, and so on. And of course, our Lord saw that it wasn't Peter he was dealing with. He was dealing with the powers of darkness that was trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And of course, we know the story where he says, get thee behind me, Satan, for you're an offense to me. He wasn't speaking to Peter at that point. He was speaking to the spirit that was speaking through him. And still that spirit speaks today through believers, through carnal believers who try and stop you from taking your cross up daily and following the Lord, so that you decrease, that Christ increases. And of course, he may do it in the most subtle ways, but he will always try and do it in the carnal, in the flesh, in the emotions. And of course, that is exactly what he was trying to do with Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus was God in flesh. He felt emotion. He felt tiredness and so forth. And I'm sure that listening to Peter, who was really pouring his heart out and saying no, and he was seeing that love, but unfortunately it was a wrong type of love, and probably being tempted, but he wasn't going to succumb to it because he had settled the cross in his life. He knew that the Spirit was leading him and taking him toward Jerusalem, where finally he was to be handed over and crucified. And in many ways, the Holy Spirit is emulating the same type of thing. We have set our hearts on the kingdom of God, the promised land. We are entering in. The giants are trying to oppose us from taking of the land. They are trying to rob us of our inheritance and our blessings in the promises of God. They are trying to rob us of our healing, our deliverance. They're trying to get us to compromise. They're trying to do all sorts of things. And you know it in your own life. But there is something within us that has set our heart as a flint towards the promised land, and we're not going to take second best. And something keeps us moving forward. And this is where I want to tune into this, because this is where the carnality versus the spirituality. And let's take this up now as the Apostle Paul addresses this to the Corinthian church. And here he deals with some problems here in chapter 3. And he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. What a shame there. Paul wants to speak to them as spiritual, but he says, I can't. And he says, I'm going to tell you why I can't, because he goes on to say, he says, you're still babes, and I have to speak to you in such a way. Thank God he's got a remnant around the world whom God doesn't have to speak to anymore in that way, but he's now speaking on a much more mature and spiritual level. And why is that? Because they have chosen to go the way of the cross, which is foolishness to the world. It's wisdom. They cannot understand the wisdom of God. And there are many professing Christians who battle this, who are in total confusion, who do not understand their trials. They cannot see that God is delivering us. He's changing us. He's purging us. He's conforming us into his image. And he uses the very trials that we go through in which to do that. But they are still under confusion. And the confusion is because the cross is not there. Therefore, they see self, and self is hurting. And why are you doing this to me? You see? You can see how the enemy works. And we've battled that. We know what that is about because God's had to do a delivering work with us and continues to still do it with us. So he says, our brethren could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, to the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. You can almost hear Paul's heart bearing out. He says, I've fed you with milk. And what he's really saying is, how long do you want that milk? I want to get you onto the solids, but you don't want it. And how we see that today, how we can see that in our circles, and they become offended. And so they start to become offended by the word. You don't love me. This wasn't done in love, and so forth. Failing to see that so often, you know, love presents the truth. There were times when you see in Jesus' ministry that it outwardly looked, he was quite harsh towards the disciples. Now, how many of us, if we during that time were walking with Jesus and he said that to us, that we would go away offended because our feelings were hurt? And they're clear signs you're still babes. And God is saying, I want you to get on to the solids. And so he says, you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, you are not, but you are carnal and behave like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So we begin to see now some of the things that Paul has to deal with. And he's dealing with tribalism. And I call it exactly what it is. Paul is actually dealing here with, if you like, the conception, an idea of denominationalism starting. The enemy knows exactly how to do it. And they were squabbling over what ministry they liked. What ministry I'm under. What minister I prefer. And you can see the squabbling that is going on here. They're not understanding body ministry. They are not understanding that they are baptized into the body of Christ to function, whether a leg, an arm, or whatever it would be. They're carnal. They don't understand this. And here we're in many ways seeing the enemy trying to sow the seeds of denominationalism. And denominationalism is fundamentally tribalism. And I call it exactly what it is. Some are Baptists, some are Lutheran, some are Roman Catholic, some are Church of England, some are this, some are that, and so forth. Here it is. And he said, I fed you with milk and not solid food. And he wanted to feed them with this solid food. And he said, yet you're still not ready for it. And I'm going to tell you why you're not ready for it. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, you are not, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, like men, like the world. In other words, you've not really learnt anything about being called out from religion, called out from the world. You want to bring the world with you. And how often do we see that? And this is why the deeper life teaching, one of the great emphasis behind this and the anointing behind this is that it might set us free from Babylon, from religion, and that we might truly be set free from the world and the spirit of this age and not make the mistake like the children of Israel, which said at the end of their journey, wish to God we were back in Egypt. And lusting for it, and the Lord said, right, I'm handing you over, have what you want, have what you want. You see? Now, is God, and I raise this question, Is God going to let this happen to the overcoming church and the bride that's making herself ready? Well, I can tell you, for those of you who believe and are in faith, you can hold on to this promise, if nothing else tonight, even if you don't agree with this, that the body, the overcomers, the bride, who's now making herself ready, I can assure you by the word of God, she will overcome, she will be delivered, and she will be carried away and taken home into glory, which we call the rapture. So there is a great promise to hold on. Now, how is he going to do this deliverance? Why, only God knows. And he only shows us step at a time. But what tells me here that this deliverance is that we mature and we grow up and we stop arguing and bickering and start to mature. And the only way we mature is that we take up also our cross daily and follow him. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. The Holy Spirit will know how to deal with you. He will know how to crucify you. He will know how to work with those areas. He will know how to work with you where you're going to die and submit. He will know how to do it. That's why he comes as our teacher, to move alongside, to take over. And there are clear signs. You are now partaking of the meat of the word, maturing, growing up. And he says, you will know this also when there's no longer this strife, this bickering, envy, arguing, and so on. Now, of course, you could also use envy as jealousy. Very similar. And so all these carnal things that you can see in the world that go on, he says, once you see that going, or it's removed, these are clear signs that my body, my people are maturing and growing up. And God will deal with any of these things that stop the overcomers, the bride, who want to press on with those solids into the deeper life. God will deal with it in time. He's not going to have the others hindered by this. Because there's to be found in God's house peace, harmony, unity. No preference against one minister to another, because it's all the same message at the end of the day. And then he goes on to say about this in verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gave the increase. So whatever you see in ministry, whatever increase, however God works, it is God who does it. And Paul clearly says that as an apostle, I planted Apollos. In other words, I introduced this ministry to you. It had my blessing, and he has come as a teacher to teach you. And what he was saying there is no difference in what he is saying and what I am saying. You see? Paul says, I planted, he's coming along to water. And this is what God does. And God has been doing this for a number of years. And we don't always see this, but he's doing it. And there were men that were called to plant the seed. Men like Brother Freeman, who planted seed. Then others coming along, using that seed in which to water it. But it is all fundamentally the same message. And the finished result is the same. And this is why there's nothing else. Some try and go away or deviate. They try and look for something else or a different revelation and teaching. There is nothing else. The deeper life, which we call it, which is really the gospel, the full gospel, is the message. There is no other message, and I can confidently and proudly say that in Christ Jesus. Because if there was, we would have found it, and we would have pursued for it and looked after it. But you see, the sons of God, the overcomers, realize that what one minister and what another is saying is fundamentally the same. One may be watering, because seed that is planted needs watering, does it not? Otherwise, that seed would just decay and die and rot in the soil. So it's been planted. Now, any ministry that plants is not easy. Because first, the ground has to be fallowed, has to be churned up, and then it has to be worked on. And then that seed is put in. And we've seen that going on over the years. We've seen how in churches and in our lives, how our lives have been turned upside down. When we came to this teaching and we heard that we can walk totally by faith and trust God and embrace all these promises, then our trials started, did they not? And it's like God came in, and it's like he came in with a great big hammer and he fouled up our lives. And he fouled up the ground, and it's like everything went from bad to worse. But God had a reason for doing that. Because he's got to get the ground prepared, because seed is going to be sown. And only those who can see that and who want to press on into sonship are prepared to let the Holy Spirit foul up all that ground, because they have a vision of seeing seed being placed in their lives. And as that seed is placed in your heart, in your lives, then the Holy Spirit brings the other ministers along who start to nurture and water and feed that seed so it starts to grow. And what is that growth called? Sonship. And we've been sitting under this, some of us, for some 30 odd years, watching this happening, developing and growing. Yes, a lot have gone back. But what have they gone back to? They've simply gone back to religion. They've gone back to tribalism. They've gone back preferring this minister or that minister because I like what he says and he makes me feel good and he entertains me. That's the broad way. Many follow that way, Jesus said. You don't have to go looking for that. That'll look for you. But it takes the Holy Spirit to take you to the deeper life teaching, which he did. And that's the difference. That is the difference. So he goes on in verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one and will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So he's saying about those ministers, whatever they're doing, they're one, and they'll receive their rewards for their labour. And then he goes on in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, who are God's field, you are God's building. So he now begins to take us further, and he begins to show us what this seed that's being watered is now producing. And what is it producing? It is producing the body of Christ. Now, at the time when the ground had to be fallowed up and the ground had to be prepared and the seed sown in, we really just didn't know. We couldn't really see the church as such. It was like the enemy was there. Things were going on. There was turmoil and everything. But in time, as we now find through the teaching and through ministers, the word, that seed that's now being watered by the Spirit, we're beginning to see something coming, something growing, developing, maturing. And what is it? It's the true body of Christ. It's this body that Christ is taking his head over. And so we're beginning to see now this building forming by the Spirit, because it is the Spirit who's building and restoring his church. That's why we're under restoration. This is a time of God building, restoring the Church of Jesus Christ, the true body, the true called out saints who stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And so we're in that development, we're in that growth. And who is the church? You are. And the church is being built through you and all those who are listening, who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are an expression of the Spirit. The Spirit can only manifest in his fullness as the body matures. And at the end, he will manifest himself in his full glory. And that is what I believe will be the greater works. And shortly then after that, the snatching away and then the returning with the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign on this earth. You can see how it's developing, maturing, coming into fruition. And so he says, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So he now begins to show the Apostle Paul being a foundation, part of that foundation, the message that's given out. He says, it's been built now, but be wise, be careful how you build upon this. And here again is the warning. He's already saying, you are carnal. Some of you prefer me, the Apostle Paul, or Apollos. And he's saying, you can't really build on that. You cannot build when you're babes. Now think about it. Babes don't own houses. They live in them and they're looked after. You only own a house when you become mature and you can afford it and the Lord blesses you with one. So there's the spiritual analogy. They have little understanding of the body of Christ. But sons who are maturing have a great heart and revelation and understanding of God's true church, his body. And they love his body. And they will feed his body. And they will be members of his body. And they will nurture his body. And they will be an encouragement to his body. And they will function in his body. Because that desire is there. And as I have said, if you love Jesus, you love his body. You can't separate any of this. And that's what he's putting in our hearts. Because ultimately, the body, our being baptized into the body, is so that we might worship God in spirit and in truth. And he says, there's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for we are all one in the spirit, in that worship, in Christ. When we come together and we worship him, he doesn't see a sister, he doesn't see a brother, he doesn't see black, he doesn't see white or anything. He sees pure, holy worship coming up before him, exalting and lifting the name of Jesus. He doesn't see any schism. He doesn't see any gossip. He doesn't see those things that have tried to hinder the growth of his body, to hinder our walk, to hinder the flow of the Spirit. And we all know because we've had it in our churches. But he's delivering us from that. And those that don't want to knuckle down and walk by the way of the cross, sadly, he has to move them to one side. And we see what happens here to those that he does remove. So according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can any one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And denominations never listened to that. Why? Because they were carnal. And they preferred that minister to this minister. And they think that their foundation is laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the enemy has deceived them. How he has deceived them. This is why we say that the understanding of the body of Christ, our function, our identification with it, is probably the hardest and the least understood amongst, I'd even say, charismatics. Most do not understand this. They still have this universalism mentality. Oh, well, I can go to any church, I can join this church or join that church, whatever. You don't. You're baptized into it. That is the whole point. And so he says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So God says the only way he can rid carnality, the only way he can rid strife, envy, jealousy, emulation, these things that goes on, he says, I will visit them, I will allow them to go through the fires. And that will sort out their foundation. That will sort out what they're really standing upon. And friends, how often have we seen that over the years? So your trials, your tests, are simply to be an encouragement when you come out the other end. Praise God, I stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Praise God, I've come out of this trial, and that tells me I am baptized into the body of Christ, and I'm growing up, and I'm maturing, and I'm an overcomer. Amen? It does. Amen. That's why you can count it all joy. And that's why he says that the fire, yes, it tried you, but you didn't get burnt. And I'll tell you why I didn't get burned. Because you stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego that were thrown into the fiery furnace, they didn't get burned because they were standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And there he was in the midst of them. And there is the same spiritual analogy. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so he says, if anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And what's that reward? I believe that reward is the marriage, into the marriage feast. And there you will be with the Lamb throughout eternity by his side. There is the reward. Because you were faithful, you didn't believe the bad report. You said, like Joshua and Caleb, we're well able to go in and take the giants of the land. And many times the giants of the land are those fiery trials which God uses to test what foundation you're standing on. Because if you're standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ, you're standing upon the word. You're standing upon the promises. You're standing upon the revelation and teaching that has been given to you over all these years. And you've held to it. There's the reward, you see. But he says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And there is the mercy of God. God says, okay, I won't let them perish and go into hell. But some of them, yes, they will be tested. And yes, they'll be burnt by fire. But he says they will be saved as by fire, you see. And they will go through the fire. Well, of course, he's speaking about there the fires here of those that are left. They unfortunately will have to go through the great tribulation. And there they will be purged. And there they will really have to face it, you see. And this is why he's offering us that escape. And that escape is that the bride will be caught away. It is the rapture. That is the next great event that is to take place in the Christian church. And so he then says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So again, he's referring to the temple that he's building. He also refers to the body, us, our body, as a type of temple. It's not the temple, but is a temple. But he's using these analogies so that we can understand. Because he's saying here that if you don't endure the trials, if you deviate, then he said, your works will be burnt up. In other words, you won't, in a sense, be protected by the foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ, that you're supposed to be standing upon. The fires have burnt you and you're badly burnt. And then he refers it the same as like the way of defiling your own body, your temple. He says, in other words, that's fundamentally what you've done. You've defiled yourself because you've allowed yourself to be burnt. And because you just didn't have the faith to believe that you stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And because these trials came along, you griped and you moaned. You didn't want to mature and to grow up. You didn't want to count it all joy. So, in other words, those fires, instead of purging you and delivering you, they burnt you up instead. This is why God works with our faith, and we stay with the faith. And we keep saying to you that every time we come to these meetings, God's fundamentally brought you here to get to your faith so that you will not be burnt up. You see? And of course, this burning up, if you are burnt up, but has saved us by fire, he then uses the analogy of the body, because maybe sometimes you might have an illness. You may open the door to something serious, something that it could even shorten your life. But you'll be saved by fire. You'll make it in, but you're not going to make it through to the rapture, because unfortunately you've opened the door to sickness and disease that unfortunately has led to death. That's why some have died. Let's just face it as it is. Don't just pretend, you know? I mean, what right does a saint have to ask for prayer if they don't want to pay the cost? If they're allowing those fires to burn them and they don't want to learn, they don't want to get into a faith, and then they'll turn around and they'll ask you to pray for them and they want your faith to believe for them. What right has any saint for that? And unfortunately, at times, a lot of that has happened in our circles. And this is why we don't see things happen, because they're not prepared to confess that sin in their life, to humble themselves before God, or to just to openly say, I've not met the conditions, I've compromised. You see. And by doing that, then those fires won't burn you up. Which God says he tests us and allows us to go through. So it's God doing it. He allows it. I'm just saying it for what the scriptures tell us, you see. And then he goes on, Paul, here in verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. Here we go. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. What an inheritance there. All is yours. Because you've held on, and your trials didn't burn you up. Now, there's no trial that God will allow or permit you or me to go through that will burn us up unless we allow it to happen. Now, what a promise. God's not going to let any trial on you that's going to burn you up, as he would not be a God of love and mercy and grace. And as hot as it can get sometimes, and you feel, I'm being burnt up in this, I'm going under. But something within you says, God's made no mistake in this, and I will come out purified. Because this is the wisdom and the mind of God bringing me forth purified as gold. Your next trial you go through, just say to yourself, hey, this is causing me to grow up. I'm going to mature much more the time I'm through this. I really am. And this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to bring over to the Corinthians. And he knew exactly their problem. They were Hellenists. They loved education, philosophy, Greek philosophy. They liked all of that. They loved to boast in it. And so, because the Apollos was an eloquent speaker and educated, they were putting him over to Paul. You know, he's a better one now than Paul, and so on. And Paul could see this, and Paul had to deal with it. And why did he deal with it? Because he knew that God had got a remnant there, and that remnant would hear. He knew that. And he went right to the root in his discernment what to do in this. And he knew exactly where to hit it was with the cross. And very often today, you will find that the Holy Spirit will do exactly the same, where to hit it, to confound the wise of this world. Because it cuts right across. The cross is an offence. It is a stumbling block for many. Many become offended by it, because the cross is the fiery furnaces. And you see, those fiery furnaces, if the cross is there also, preserves and protects you. So one could almost say with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and the fourth one there, the pre-incarnate Christ, there was the cross. The cross was preserving them, because they were ready to surrender and give up their lives unto death. But the very death that they submitted to, giving up their lives, wrought about resurrection. And the resurrection was, they came out and not a hair of their head was touched. And that is going to be, is exactly the same for you and me. Yes, it is death, but that death brings resurrection, and that resurrection means that those fiery furnaces didn't burn you up. And there is the good message of the cross. It's not only death, but it is resurrection. And God is ever working resurrection in you. He doesn't keep you in a death state. And that's what the enemy tries to get you to see in this. He's working that death so that you can experience resurrection. And those fires are not touching you. And they will not burn up the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, which it will not. For she's making herself ready. And this is why the man-child, the overcomers, the sons of God, are hid in the womb, preserved, so that they will not be burnt up. But the dragon's right there. We know the imagery of this in Revelation 12. He's trying to trick us. He's trying to get us to compromise. But he won't do it, because the man-child is preserved in the womb of the woman who gives birth to this. And the moment that the man-child is born, it is snatched away. There is the supernatural preservation of God. Why? Because he isn't going to let that man-child be burnt up by the fires. And the man-child is snatched away because God doesn't want the man-child, the overcomers, the bride of Christ, to be burnt up in the tribulation. That is why. There is the mind and the wisdom of God working out his plan of redemption for you and I. What a privilege that is. What a blessing that is, that we can be a part of this, that we can receive this engrafted word into our heart and life and being. and that through your very trials, God is preserving you in them, and it is working resurrection in you. And this is what the Apostle Paul was bringing to this early church. Why was he bringing it? I remind you again, as we bring this now to its conclusion, they were still yet carnal. They were preferring this minister to that minister. There was strife. There was division. There was all the signs of denominationalism trying to start up. Tribalism getting going, because that's exactly what will come out of those conditions. And he knew exactly where to pin this and where to deal with this. He came with the cross, because the cross will deal with tribalism. The cross will deal with denominationalism. The cross will deal with schisms. All these things that try to go on, it deals with it. God knows. God knows. And when God judges and when he deals with it, he always comes with the cross. And the cross has sorted out whether your trials have burnt you up or your trials have purged you and brought you forth purified. Because that's the two things they do. That's the two things they do. Now you see, a wise man or woman, when hearing such words, will be honest before God and say, Lord, I will be burnt up in myself through these trials. There's no way I can stand through these. I know that. But please help me. Please be with me. Be like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. You were there preserving them in that fiery furnace. Please preserve me, Lord. I don't want to perish. I want to come forth for your glory. And Lord, that my faith will fail not in that trial. That is bowing the knee. That is what God requires of us. He requires of us to be honest and to be open. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think any loving Father and our Heavenly Father would ever turn deaf ears on such a cry and such an asking of him. You can have that confidence in your heart that your Father will do exactly what you have asked of him. Because what you are asking is that's going to glorify his name at the end of it. Now, God isn't going to have his name glorified if every fiery furnace that a saint goes through, they're burnt up by it. So he has confidence in his elect and those whom he has chosen. And so as we hear ourselves responding to what he says, these are all clear signs that we're called, that we are chosen in Christ, that he's put this word within our hearts, that he's opened our ears and eyes and hearts. He's given us an affection for this. And so when we go through these trials and when they come next, and they will come, we can go through in faith and with a different attitude, you see. And as I always keep saying, these trials very often are never or sometimes quite as bad as how the powers of darkness try to amplify them. And very often it's simply our attitude toward them. And so there is the great deliverance and work that God is doing. He's working that deliverance in our minds, as we see in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, that we may be able to discern, that we might be able to know the will of God in all things. To know the will of God in all things means you need deliverance in your mind, because it's the mind that he attacks and that he hinders. And so again, it can only be a work of grace. And so there we are, my friends. We trust that this has been of encouragement for you tonight. The carnality versus spirituality. And I've spoken to you tonight about the wisdom of God, which is Christ crucified and risen, and that how we receive this wisdom of God, not by the intellect, but by the Spirit of God. And to receive this by the Spirit of God, this is why God has to do a deliverance with your mind. Because you cannot receive this by your intellect, which you can boast by your education or how clever you are. which most think they do. This is why they spiritualize theology. This is why theology, the doctrine of God, has been so twisted and perverted. And many feel that they can never know the Bible or understand the Bible unless you're an intellect and you are educated and you are intelligent. Look how the devil has twisted it. No, 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 no. Anything but. God opposes that. And he says, the way you will know, the way you are taught, is if you embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. And there, I will. If you open your mind and boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, that will be the deliverance to your mind, to your intellect, where Satan has tried to hold you in that. And I will teach you. I will educate you. That is why we always say faith is a higher form of knowledge that the world cannot give or to you. Only God can give you this. That is why everybody stands a chance. And that is why the ground is level at the foot of the cross for all. And that is why God sets you in the body to function, to learn, and to receive this word, that you might mature and grow up. Amen. Father, tonight we thank you for this word. Father, we know that it's not always easy. Father, you don't compromise. You give it as it is. You don't want us to believe a lie or to pretend. But Lord, I believe tonight by receiving this word, this is going to help us to mature and to grow up and to glorify you. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you you've made this meeting possible for all those who have come in to the room. And Father, I pray that you will water this word by your Holy Spirit and that fruit will accompany this. And Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, that in their trials their faith will fail not, but they would ever wax bolder and stronger. And the Lord, we will hold on to the fact that our trials are so designed for us to develop, to mature and to grow, and also have that confidence to know that God would never allow us to be burnt in this trial if he could see that we cannot make our way through it. And so, Lord, we hold on to the faith. We hold on to all that has been given to us over the years. And in your mercy and grace, we don't deviate, but we keep our eyes upon Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask that you will ever preserve and keep your people. You'll cause your face to shine upon them. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. And, Father, keep them above all from the evil one, I ask, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Follow me, yes, follow me in the ways of the Lord. Leave all behind, follow me, yes, follow me, says the Lord. To count it joy and praise the Lord, endure the trials and wait on the Lord. Leave all behind.